Gracias esta mañana por tenernos aquí delante de ti.
Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here this morning before you.
Queremos rogarte, Señor, que tú permitas que cuando termine este tiempo de exposición de tu palabra, cada uno de nosotros haya recibido de ti la porción necesaria para nuestras almas.
We ask you that at the end of the day, when we are receive your word, that we pray that we have received just what you want us to receive, Lord, and the right portion of your word.
Ven delante de nosotros, Señor, presídenos y dirígenos y bendícenos. Te lo suplicamos en el nombre del Señor Jesucristo.
Go before us, lead us in these moments and bless us, and we ask you this in Jesus' name.
Amén. Pueden sentarse.
You may be seated.
Vamos a leer Primera de Samuel, capítulo 14. Les recomiendo que busquen su Biblia. Es un pasaje sumamente extenso. No lo vamos a traducir al inglés, porque luego entonces, en la medida que desarrollemos la enseñanza, pues entonces citaremos alguna de las partes.
We're going to be starting today from 1 Samuel chapter 14. We're going to read the whole passage, but because it's a very lengthy chapter, we're not going to read it in English. So if you can somehow pull it up, that would be great. And then along the message, we're going to be reading a few portions of that passage.
Entonces, Primera de Samuel capítulo 14. ¿Lo tienen?
1 Samuel chapter 14. You guys ready?
Aconteció un día que Jonatán, hijo de Saúl, dijo a su criado que le traía las armas: ven y pasemos a la guarnición de los filisteos que está de aquel lado. Y no lo hizo saber a su padre. Y Saúl se hallaba al extremo de Gabá, debajo de un granado que hay en Migrón, y la gente que estaba con él era como de 600 hombres. Y Ahías, hijo de Aitot, hermanos de Cabot, hijo de Finés, hijo de Elí, sacerdote de Jehová en Silo, llevaba el efod. Y no sabía el pueblo que Jonatán se hubiese ido. Y entre los desfiladeros por donde Jonatán procuraba pasar a la guarnición de los filisteos, había un peñasco agudo de un lado y otro del otro lado. El uno se llamaba Bosés y el otro Sene. Y uno de los peñascos estaba situado al norte hacia Midmas y el otro hacia el sur hacia Gabá. Dijo pues Jonatán a su paje de armas: ven, pasemos a la guarnición de estos incircuncisos. Quizá haga algo Jehová por nosotros, pues no es difícil para Jehová salvar con muchos o con pocos. Y su paje de armas le respondió: haz todo lo que tienes en tu corazón, ve, pues aquí estoy contigo a tu voluntad. Dijo entonces Jonatán: vamos a pasar a estos hombres y nos mostraremos a ellos. Y si nos dijeren así: esperad hasta que lleguemos a vosotros, entonces nos estaremos en nuestro lugar y no subiremos a ellos. Mas si nos dijeren así: subid a nosotros, entonces subiremos, porque Jehová los ha entregado en nuestra mano, y esto nos será por señal. Señores, voy a corregir, enmendar lo que había dicho hace un momentito. Vamos a ir traduciendo, aunque sea por porciones, porque si no, ellos no van a poder seguir. Léete esa primera parte y luego seguimos.
I changed my mind, what I said earlier. We're going to read, trying to make some stops along the way.
No tenemos prisa, ¿no? We are not hurry at all. Mm-hmm. No tenemos prisa.
¿Hasta qué versículo?
Hasta el 12. Perdón, hasta el 10.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to read verse 1, chapter 14. One day, Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young men who carried his armor, come, let us go over the Philistines' garrison on the other side. But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying in the outskirts of Gibeah in the pomegranate cave at Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men, including Ahab, the son of Ahitub, brothers and son of Eli, and the priests of the Lord in Silo, wearing an ephah. And the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Within the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over the Philistine garrison, there was a rocky crag on the one side, that a rocky crag on the other side. The name of the one was Bosez, and the name of the other was Zenith. The one crag rose on the north in front of Mishmash, and the other one on the south of the front of Giba. Jonathan said to the young men who carried his armor, come, let us go over the garrison of these uncircumcised. It might be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few. And his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart, do as you wish. Behold, I am with you, your heart and soul. Then Jonathan said, "Behold, we will cross over to the men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up, for the Lord has given them into our hand, and this shall be the sign to us."
Versículo 11. Se mostraron pues ambos a la guarnición de los filisteos, y los filisteos dijeron, "He aquí los hebreos que salen de las cavernas donde se habían escondido." Y los hombres de la guarnición respondieron a Jonatán y a su paje de armas y dijeron, "Subid a nosotros y os haremos saber una cosa." Entonces Jonatán dijo a su padre de armas, "Sube tras mí, porque Jehová los ha entregado en mano de Israel." Y subió Jonatán trepando con sus manos y sus pies, y tras él su paje de armas, y a los que caían delante de Jonatán, su paje de armas que iba detrás, tras él los mataba. Y esta fue, esta la primera matanza que hicieron Jonatán y su paje de armas como 20 hombres en el espacio de una media yugada de tierra. Y hubo pánico en el campamento y por el campo y entre toda la gente de la guarnición y los que habían ido a merodear, también ellos tuvieron pánico y la tierra tembló. Hubo pues gran consternación. Y los centinelas de Saúl vieron desde Gabá de Benjamín cómo la multitud estaba turbada e iba de un lado a otro y era deshecha. Entonces Saúl dijo al pueblo que estaba con él, "Pasad ahora revista y ved quién se haya ido de los nuestros." Pasaron revista y he aquí que faltaba Jonatán y su paje de armas. Y Saúl dijo a Ahías, "Trae el arca de Dios", porque el arca de Dios estaba entonces con los hijos de Israel. Pero aconteció que mientras aún hablaba Saúl con el sacerdote, el alboroto que había en el campamento de los filisteos aumentaba e iba creciendo en gran manera. Entonces dijo Saúl al sacerdote, "Detén tu mano." Y juntando Saúl a todo el pueblo que con él estaba, llegaron hasta el lugar de la batalla, y aquí que la espada de cada uno estaba vuelta contra su compañero, y había una gran confusión. Los hebreos que habían estado con los filisteos de tiempo atrás y habían venido con ellos de los alrededores del apartamento se pusieron también del lado de los israelitas que estaban con Saúl y con Jonatán. Asimismo, todos los israelitas que se habían escondido en el monte de Efraín, oyendo que los filisteos huían, también ellos los persiguieron en aquella batalla. Así salvó Jehová a Israel aquel día y llegó la batalla hasta Betabén. Adelante, hermano.
Verse 11. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Look, Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have been hidden themselves." And the men of the garrison hailed Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us and we will show you a thing." And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed them after him. And that first strike which Jonathan and his armor bearer made killed about 20 men within, as it were, as a half furrow length in an acre of land. And there was a panic in the camp and in the field and among all the people. And the garrison and even the raiders trembled, an earthquake, and it became a very great panic. And the watchmen of Saul in Gibeon of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude was dispersing here and there. Then Saul said to the people who were with him, "Count and see who has gone from us." And when they have counted, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. So Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring the ark of God here, for the ark of God went at the time with the people of Israel." Now while Saul was talking to the priests, the tumult in the camp of the Philistines increased more and more. So Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." Then Saul and all the people who were with him rallied and went to the battle. And behold, every Philistine sword was against his fellow. And there was very great confusion. Now the Hebrew who had been with the Philistines before that time and who had gone up with them into the camp, even they also turned to be with the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, when all the men of Israel who had hidden themselves in the hill country of Ephraim heard of the Philistines were fleeing, they too followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed beyond Beth Aven.
Bien, vamos a dejar hasta ahí la lectura, hermanos, y vamos a comenzar a exponer un mensaje que la semana que viene, en cierta manera, vamos a volver a él, al texto, que tiene que ver con el contraste entre la fe de Jonatán y la religión de Saúl.
We're going to stop right here and we're going to carry on with the reading later on. We're going to follow this message next week. But we're going to be talking about, and the message is about a comparison between Saul's religious activity and Jonathan's faith.
Los filisteos habían reunido un ejército muy poderoso. Ustedes recordarán que hablaba, dice la escritura, de 30,000 carros, de 6,000 hombres a caballo y de una multitud como la arena del mar que venía a pie o en pie en contra de un ejército muy reducido que en ese momento tenía Saúl y Jonatán, unos 3,000 hombres.
The Bible says at that time the Philistines, they were a great number against the Israelites. I mean, they were talking in the Bible, and we can look that they had over 300 chariots, and they have many people on foot. And the Bible describes them as being as many as the sand in the ground. And they were fighting against an army of Israel who was very, very small in comparison to the Philistines.
Los israelitas habían comenzado a desertar. Se habían escondido en cuevas, en diferentes cavernas, en diferentes lugares, donde quiera que había un escondite, ahí se escondían.
The Israelites were also beginning to desert, and they were hiding among the caves and holes and anywhere where they can find.
Y Saúl entonces, pretendiendo frenar esa deserción, decide no esperar a Samuel y ofrecer un sacrificio que no era a él que le correspondía hacerlo, sino al sumo sacerdote,
and
o al sacerdote.
What we see is that the king Saul, seeing the people that was fleeing from battle and forsaken, he decides to offer the sacrifice, which was a sacrifice that was not up to him to do, it was up to the priest Samuel to do.
Mientras tanto, los filisteos habían ido avanzando dentro del territorio que ocupaban los israelitas, poniendo guarniciones, las cuales todavía atemorizaban más a los israelitas.
And then we also see at that time that the Philistines were moving forward on the battlefield, gaining grounds on the Israel campaign, and they were establishing garrison, which was a great threat, and it imposed great fear upon the nation of Israel.
Ya el grupo que le quedaba a Saúl, y a Jonatán era solamente de 600 hombres.
And then we see at this time that the group that was with Samuel, with Jonathan, was about 600 people.
Y entonces ahí emerge un pensamiento, una idea en Jonatán, el hijo de Saúl, la cual pretende llevar a cabo de una manera completamente autónoma o independiente.
And then we see an idea in Jonathan's head, which is his desire was to carry out completely without the authorization of his father, the king.
En este caso, no podemos decir que de tal palo tal astilla.
In this, no podemos.
En este caso, no se aplica el decir que así como el padre también es el hijo.
In this case, we cannot say that it is like father, like son in the case of Samuel.
Porque si bien el padre era un hombre carnal, completamente dominado por sus pasiones.
Because when we see King Saul, who's a man who's carnal, he's dominated by his fleshly desires.
La naturaleza del hijo, por el contrario, era espiritual completamente. Era un hombre de fe.
On the other hand, his son, Jonathan, is a guy who's very base faith, very faith, led by faith.
Entonces lo primero que vemos es que la fe de Jonatán le impulsa a actuar independientemente del hecho de que no tuviese nadie que le respaldase.
And the first thing that we see is that Jonathan's faith led him to take actions even though there was nobody around him supporting him.
Los primeros versículos del 1 al 3 nos enseñan que Jonatán pensó en la iniciativa de ser él quien atacara a los filisteos. Y esto lo hace sin consultarlo ni siquiera con su padre, ni dejárselo saber al sacerdote, ni siquiera a ningún otro del pueblo, sino solamente a su ayudante, aquel que le cargaba las armas.
And we see on the first three verses that Jonathan took the initiative to go against the Philistines, and he did not tell his father, he did not tell the priest, he did not tell anybody in the people of Israel, only his armor bearer was the one that accompanied him.
Su única preocupación estaba en tener la bendición de Dios.
His only concern was to have God's blessing upon himself.
Y es algo que normalmente está presente en las personas que obran por fe, que no están dependiendo de la aprobación humana, sino que lo que buscan es la aprobación de Dios.
And this is something that we see very often on the people that are acting and living by faith. They're not seeking for men's approval, but rather they just want God's approval on their life.
Consecuentemente, él traza un plan contando con esa aprobación de Dios y la va a poner a prueba. Y le dice a su ayudante, que le cargaba las armas, le dice, vamos a pasar, vamos a acercarnos a la guarnición de los filisteos para ver si Dios nos da la señal y podemos nosotros ganar a ellos. Porque para Dios no es difícil absolutamente salvar, sea con mucho o con pocos. Versículo 6.
We see here that Jonathan orchestrated a plan based on whether or not he was going to receive God's blessing or not. And the plan was to go up to the garrison of the Philistines. And once there, if they got the approval, they were going to go against the Philistine and attack. His concern was getting God's blessing rather than the people that they were going to face.
Léete versículo 6.
Verse 6, it says the following. Jonathan said to the young men who carry his armor, come, let us go over the garrison of this uncircumcised. It might be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few.
La primera cosa que vemos que él reconoce que hay un Dios soberano.
The first thing that we see is that he acknowledges and recognizes that there is a sovereign God.
Confía en el poder de ese Dios soberano.
And he trusts in the power of that sovereign God.
Pero al mismo tiempo reconoce su insuficiencia. O sea, él sabe que ellos son pocos.
But at the same time, he acknowledges his insufficiency and he knows that there are very few.
Y plantea la posibilidad de que quizás Jehová les salve a pesar de ser pocos.
And then he makes a statement that perhaps God will deliver them even though there were just a few in numbers or a few people.
Porque no es difícil para Jehová salvar con muchos o con pocos.
Because it is not a hard thing for God to save depending on many people or depending on few people.
Cada uno de nosotros tiene que tomar actitudes en la vida las cuales nos llevan a o deben ser impulsadas por estoy tratando de buscar palabras que él traduzca.
Oye,
él
es
después me dicen que yo hablo muy complicado. El punto está en que Jonatán sabe que Dios tiene el poder para dar la victoria a pesar de que ellos eran solamente dos. Pero es interesante la expresión de él que dice quizá Dios. O sea que de ninguna manera él da por sentado que Dios lo va a hacer porque él se decida hacerlo.
It's very interesting that regardless of what's going on, Jonathan's heart was said that God was able to deliver them even though they were just two people. But it is very interesting to see too that he says, perhaps, even at that point, we see that Jonathan was not 100% sure that God was going to deliver them or not.
No contaba con sus fuerzas porque se sentía insuficiente y lo era.
He was not relying upon his own strength because he knew that he was weak and that he was not.
Conocía el riesgo que estaba corriéndose.
He knew the risk that he was taking.
Pero sabía que había un Dios poderoso y soberano para el cual no había imposible ninguno.
But he knew that there was a God who was powerful and all sovereign, and he knew exactly what he was doing.
Y es el mismo caso de los cristianos. O sea, nosotros sabemos que no tenemos mérito suficiente como para poder lograr que Dios nos salve.
And this is the same case with us nowadays with Christians, is that we know that we don't have in ourselves enough credits and enough merit to earn what we want to be earned.
Sin embargo, Dios nos salva por gracia, por fe y por Jesucristo.
Nevertheless, God saves us through Christ and by faith and by grace.
Aunque no lo merezcamos o aunque no seamos aptos o capaces de ello.
Even though we don't deserve it, even though we're not qualified, even though we don't have the requirements in order to please God.
Consecuentemente, él pone a prueba la voluntad de Dios.
And as a consequence, he put on trial, he tested
la voluntad de
God's
Dios.
Will.
En lugar de arrogantemente, como hoy día oímos algunos que declaran, dice, declara lo que simplemente será tuyo. Él dice, quizá Dios.
And it's very interesting that in spite of many things that we see nowadays where there's people declaring and claiming God to act upon their will, He's just saying, perhaps God.
Con esto simplemente está supeditándose a la autoridad de Dios.
And what he's doing by saying things, he's just submitting himself unto God's authority.
Y la fe de Jonatán es una fe contagiante que estimula a otros.
And we see that Jonathan's faith is also contagious. It's something that encourages other people to embrace that kind of faith.
Y lo vemos claramente en el versículo 7 que su paje de armas le responde, haz todo lo que tienes en tu corazón, ve, pues aquí estoy contigo a tu voluntad.
And we can see that on verse 7 where his armor bearer told Jonathan the following. He says, do all that is in your heart, do as you wish, behold, I am with you, heart and soul.
Vemos tres aspectos ya de lo que es la fe de Jonatán, que es una fe genuina. En primer lugar,
and then we see three things about Jonathan's faith, which is a genuine faith. The number one,
es una fe que le motiva a actuar independientemente de que los demás no lo hagan.
It's a faith that leads you to acting, that drives you to act regardless of what people may think or say.
Ni su papá, ni el pueblo, ni el sacerdote, nadie absolutamente. Él no contaba con nadie, sino solo con Dios.
He was not counting on his father, he was not counting on the priest, he was not counting on the people, he was only counting on God himself.
Consecuentemente, cuando traza una estrategia, cuando tiene un plan o un proyecto, como hacemos nosotros con nuestras vidas, lo que busca es la aprobación de Dios.
And as a consequence, when he comes up with this plan, when he comes up with this project, as often so many of us we do in our own life, he was seeking for God's approval rather than men's approval.
Y en tercer lugar, vemos que es capaz de estimular a otros a copiar la fe que él tenía en el Señor.
And thirdly, we see that his faith, it was so contagious that it motivated the people around him to also emulate the same kind of faith.
Pero es interesante el hecho de que Dios siempre se reserva el derecho de aprobar o desaprobar lo que nosotros planificamos.
And it's very interesting that God always keeps the right to himself whether or not he's going to approve what he wants, what we request.
Consecuentemente, es de sabios y de personas de fe el poner a prueba la voluntad de Dios.
So, as a consequence, it is something wise and those of mature people to test God's will.
Decide, vamos a mostrarnos a la guarnición de los filisteos, como ellos están en un lugar alto, si nos dicen, vengan acá. Eso significa que Dios quiere que vayamos. Si nos dice, quédense ahí, que vamos donde ustedes, entonces significa que Dios no quiere que vayamos.
And what they did is that they went up to the garrison, and since they were sitting on top of the hill, if they were to say, come up, come to us, then we will know that God wants us to go and take them. If they will say, wait over there, we'll go for you, then we will know that we should not embrace him.
Y en el versículo 12 dice, los hombres de la guarnición respondieron a Jonatán y a su paje de armas y dijeron, subid a nosotros y os haremos saber una cosa. Entonces Jonatán dijo a su paje de armas, sube tras mí porque Jehová los ha entregado en mano de Israel.
Verse 12, it says, and the men of the garrison hailed Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hand of Israel.
Consecuentemente, por fe, él actúa confiado en que Dios es quien lo va a hacer a él un instrumento para la gloria del propio Dios, o sea, para la bendición de la nación de Israel.
And as a consequence, we see Jonathan acting on the faith, knowing that God was going to use him as an instrument for God's glory in the victory over the Philistines.
Evidentemente, esta fe, Dios la premia, ¿no? Dios la premia al punto tal de que los versículos que van del 14 al 16 enseñan que dos hombres prácticamente destruyeron con su accionar a todo un ejército.
And we see how God rewards this kind of faith, where we see in the following verses that two men, in a sense, destroy and defeated a whole army.
En el versículo 15, en versículo 14, vemos que Jonatán subió y dice que 20 personas en media yugada de tierra, que es la mitad del terreno que puede arar una yunta de bueyes en un día, pues en ese terreno pues mató a 20 hombres junto con su paje de armas.
And then he said in verse 14 that he killed about 20 people within a half of 4-row length in an acre, which is half the distance that oxes usually use to take care of the fields and prepare the fields.
Y Dios dice que hubo pánico. Pánico entre aquellos que estaban muy confiados porque veían a los israelitas esconderse en las cuevas, en las cavernas.
And God says that there was great panic among the people who have seen the Israelites on a time before fleeing and hiding on the caves.
Un grupito de hombres desarmados, 600 hombres sin armas, estaban viendo autodestruirse, entre ellos mismos comenzaron a atacarse a un ejército multitudinario
600
y bien armado.
600 people who were unarmed and they were just standing there watching how this huge army was destroying among themselves.
En otras palabras, Dios premió la fe de Jonatán, obteniendo Israel una gran victoria a causa de este hombre de fe, el cual, dependiendo de Dios y no confiando en su propio poder, se lanzó a hacer la obra de Dios.
And then we see how God rewards this great victory for Israel, for his glory, based on the act of one man led by his faith who carry on and embrace and attack this army.
Vamos de nuevo al texto entonces, en capítulo 14 de Primera de Samuel. Ahora vamos desde el versículo 23 en adelante.
Let's go back to the chapter 14 of Samuel. Vamos, we're going to be reading now from verse 24.
Estamos contrastando la fe de Jonatán con la actitud pura y simplemente religiosa, la religiosidad, la religión de Saúl.
And what we're doing today is just making a comparison, a contrast between Jonathan's faith and religious activities or customs.
De Saúl.
Of Saul, King Saul.
Versículo 23. Así salvó, ¿tienen sus Biblias? Así salvó Jehová a Israel aquel día y llegó la batalla hasta Betabén. Pero los hombres de Israel fueron puestos en apuro aquel día, porque Saúl había juramentado al pueblo diciendo: cualquiera que coma pan antes de caer la noche, antes de que haya tomado venganza de mis enemigos, será maldito. Y todo el pueblo no había probado pan. Y todo el pueblo llegó a un bosque donde había miel en la superficie del campo. Entró pues el pueblo en el bosque y aquí que la miel corría, pero no hubo quien hiciera llegar a su mano a su boca, porque el pueblo temía el juramento. Pero Jonatán no había oído cuando su padre había juramentado al pueblo y alargó la punta de una vara que traía en su mano y la mojó en un panal de miel y llevó su mano a la boca y fueron aclarados sus ojos. Entonces habló uno del pueblo diciendo: tu padre me ha hecho jurar solemnemente al pueblo diciendo: maldito sea el hombre que tome hoy alimento. Y el pueblo desfallecía. Respondió Jonatán: mi padre ha turbado el país. Ved ahora cómo han sido aclarados mis ojos por haber gustado un poco de esta miel. ¿Cuánto más si el pueblo hubiera comido libremente hoy del botín tomado de sus enemigos? ¿No se habría hecho ahora mayor estrago entre los filisteos? E hirieron aquel día a los filisteos desde Midma hasta Jalón. Pero el pueblo estaba muy cansado. Se lanzó el pueblo sobre el botín y tomaron ovejas y vacas y becerros y los degollaron en el suelo y el pueblo los comió con sangre. Y dieron aviso a Saúl diciendo: el pueblo peca contra Jehová comiendo carne con sangre. Y dijo: vosotros habéis prevaricado. Rodadme ahora acá una piedra grande. Además dijo Saúl: esparcíos por el pueblo y decidle que me traigan cada uno su vaca y cada cual su oveja y degolladlas aquí y comed y no pequéis contra Jehová comiendo la carne con la sangre. Y trajo todo el pueblo, cada cual por su mano, su vaca aquella noche y las degollaron allí. Y edificó Saúl altar a Jehová. Este altar fue el primero que edificó a Jehová. Y dijo Saúl: descendamos de noche contra los filisteos y los saquearemos hasta la mañana y no dejaremos de ellos ninguno. Y ellos dijeron: haz lo que bien te pareciere. Dijo luego el sacerdote: acerquémonos aquí a Dios. Y Saúl consultó a Dios: descenderé tras los filisteos, los entregarás en mi mano. Mas Jehová no dio respuesta aquel día. Entonces dijo Saúl: venid acá todos los principales del pueblo y sabed y ved en qué ha consistido este pecado hoy. Porque vive Jehová que salva a Israel, que aunque fuera en Jonatán mi hijo, de seguro morirá. Y no hubo en todo el pueblo quien le respondiese. Dijo luego a todo Israel: vosotros estaréis a un lado y yo y Jonatán mi hijo estaremos al otro lado. Y el pueblo respondió a Saúl: haz lo que bien te pareciere. Entonces dijo Saúl a Jehová Dios de Israel: da suerte perfecta. Y la suerte cayó sobre Jonatán y Saúl, y el pueblo salió libre. Y Saúl dijo: echad suerte entre mí y Jonatán mi hijo. Y la suerte cayó sobre Jonatán. Entonces Saúl dijo a Jonatán: declárame ahora lo que has hecho. Y Jonatán se lo declaró y dijo: ciertamente gusté un poco de miel con la punta de la vara que traía en mi mano y he de morir. Y Saúl respondió: así me haga Dios y aún me añada que sin duda morirás, Jonatán. Entonces el pueblo dijo a Saúl: ¿ha de morir Jonatán, el que ha hecho esta grande salvación en Israel? No será así. Vive Jehová, que no ha de caer un cabello de su cabeza en tierra, pues ha actuado hoy con Dios. Así el pueblo libró de morir a Jonatán. Y Saúl dejó de seguir a los filisteos, y los filisteos se fueron a su lugar. Adelante, hermano.
Verse 24. And the men of Israel had been hard pressed that day, so Saul had laid an oath on the people, saying, cursed be the man who eats food until this evening, and I am avenged of my enemies. So none of the people had tasted food. Now when all the people came to the forest, behold, there was honey on the ground. And when the people entered the forest, behold, the honey was dropping, but no one put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard his father charge the people with the oath, so he put out the tip of his staff that was in his hand, and dipped it into the honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes became bright. Then one of the people said, your father strictly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man who eats food this day. And the people were faint. Then Jonathan said, my father has troubled the land. See how my eyes have been bright because I tasted a little of this honey. How much better if the people had eaten freely today of the spoils of their enemies that they found. For now the defeat among the Philistines has not been great. They struck down the Philistines that day from Mishmash to Ahilon, and the people were very faint. The people pounced on the spoils and took sheep and oxen and calves and slaughtered them on the ground, and the people ate them with blood. Then they told Saul, behold, the people are sinning against the Lord by eating with the blood. And he says, you have dealt treacherously. Roll a great stone to me here. And Saul say, disperse yourself among the people and say to them, let every man bring his ox or his sheep and slaughter them here and eat. And do not sin against the Lord by eating with blood. So every one of the people brought his ox with him that night, and they slaughtered them there. And Saul built an altar to the Lord. It was the first altar that he built to the Lord. Then Saul said, let us go down after the Philistines by night and plunder them until the morning light. Let us not leave a man of them. And they say, do whatever seems good to you. But the priest said, let us draw near to God here. And Saul inquired of God, shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you give them into the hand of Israel? But he did not answer him that day. And Saul said, come here, all you leaders of the people, and know and see how this sin has arisen today. For as the Lord lives who saved Israel, through it being Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. But there was not a man among all the people who answered him. Then he said to all Israel, you shall be on one side, and I and Jonathan my son will be on the other side. And the people said to Saul, do what seems good to you. Therefore Saul said, O Lord God of Israel, why have you not answered your servant this day? If this guilt is on me or on Jonathan, my son, O Lord God of Israel, give Urim. But if this guilt is in your people, Israel, give Thummim. And Jonathan and Saul were taken, but the people escaped. Then Saul said, cast a lot between me and my son Jonathan, and Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me, what have you done? And Jonathan told him, I tasted a little honey with the tip of the staff that was in my hand. Here I am, I will die. And Saul said, God do so to me, and more also, you shall surely die, Jonathan. Then the people said to Saul, shall Jonathan die who has worked this great salvation in Israel? Far from it. As the Lord lives, there shall not one of his head fall to the ground, for he has worked with God this day. So the people ransomed Jonathan so that he did not die. Then Saul went up to pursue the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place.
Amén. En contraste con la fe de Jonatán, vemos que Saúl era un hombre religioso, simplemente religioso.
In comparison with Jonathan's faith, we found that King Saul was purely a religious man.
Como religioso, se relacionaba con Dios a través de objetos.
And as a religious man, he will have a relationship with God through items and objects.
Por ejemplo, manda a buscar el arca.
For instance, he tells his men to go and find the Ark of the Covenant.
Porque para él, el arca representaba la presencia de Dios.
Because for him, the Ark of the Covenant represented his God's presence.
El Dios que dice el apóstol Pablo que los cielos de los cielos no lo pueden contener, él lo quería reducir a un instrumento, a un arca. Así como muchas veces algunos quieren hacerlo, como en la procesión de Corpus Christi, a un pedazo de pan.
And we see that
sorry.
No, it's okay. when we see in the New Testament the Saul who says God of heaven is not contained to the heavens and the earth, and then we find Saul trying to box God into this ark, it's very similar to what we see nowadays where people in religious holidays like we do in Corpus Christi, they're trying to box God into a small piece of bread.
También estatuas. También vírgenes o santos.
There is also statues and images of saints and virgins.
Y él ora a Dios.
And he prays to God.
Pero las circunstancias están por encima de su devoción.
But the circumstances that he's facing, the situation where he's at this point, it is above his devotion to God.
Todavía no habían puesto el arca delante de él cuando le dice al sacerdote, detén tu mano.
It hasn't come a time where the ark was placed before him that he rushed the priest and said, you know, undo what I say.
Porque había una urgencia, ya que los filisteos estaban comenzando a, la tierra temblaba y estaban comenzando los filisteos a destruirse el uno al otro. Había que aprovechar.
Because he saw an opportunity as the Philistines were trying to flee and the earth was shaking and they were just rumbling, and he saw that as an opportunity.
En otras palabras, él ante la emergencia reacciona sin consultar con Dios.
And basically what we see is facing that emergency, facing that opportunity, he rushed into it without seeking God's approval.
A pesar de que Dios ya había reprobado a Saúl, Dios le da la victoria a la nación de Israel.
Regardless that God has already disapproved King Saul in the past, we still see that God delivers him and grants him the victory.
Sin embargo, el instrumento que había utilizado era su hijo Jonatán, no él.
Nevertheless, the instrument, the people, the person that he used was his son Jonathan and not himself.
Pero aún delante de Dios, él quiere personalizar la victoria como propia.
But then we see that he tries before God to personalize the victory and make it look like it was his own victory.
Y da una maldición, dice que nadie coma nada hasta que yo acabe con mis enemigos.
And he casts out an oath and he says, let none man eat anything until I finish with all my enemies.
Un grupito pequeño de hombres tratando de perseguir a los filisteos que estaban completamente dispersos.
We see a very small group of men persecuting or going after an army that has been fleeing.
Completamente agotados durante todo un día de lucha, de batalla.
Entirely fainted and tired because they've been fighting the battle all day.
Y él, en lugar de estimularle, lo que hace es que utiliza el miedo, amenazándole con maldecirlo a cualquiera que comiera algo durante el día.
And then we see King Saul, instead of encouraging his people, he threatens them and uses fear as a factor, saying that whoever eat anything will be cursed.
Jonatán, que no sabía nada, toma de la miel que encontró en el campo. El pueblo no se atrevió a tomarla, y el mismo Jonatán declara que su padre había turbado a todo el país.
And then we see Jonathan, not knowing what his father has said, that he goes and tasted the honey of the field, but the people did nothing. And knowing this, and after Jonathan found out what his father says, he declared himself saying that his father has truly hurt and damaged the land.
O sea que Saúl realmente propició el tropiezo de otras personas. Y luego de propiciar su tropiezo, entonces los condena.
So we see King Saul that in a sense he encouraged or set the setting for people to stumble and fall, and once they stumble and fall, then he condemned them.
El pueblo toma las ovejas, las vacas del botín de los filisteos y los mata y se lo come crudo con sangre.
And then we see how in a moment of desperation, the people, the army of Israel, they just kill all the oxen and the spoils of the battle. And in this moment of desperation, they just eat it raw, you know, plain raw, as he said on the text.
Y el primero que condena a la nación es aquel que los colocó en esa situación.
And then we see that the first person condemning their action was the person who actually put them on that situation.
Entonces luego, para condenar a alguien, consulta a Dios.
And then we see that in order for him to condemn somebody, he goes seeking for God's counsel.
Porque él dice, el pueblo ha prevaricado, el pueblo ha pecado contra Dios, y alguien tiene que tener la culpa.
Because he says the people has sinned against God, and there has to be somebody whose fault.
En vez de examinarse a sí mismo, que realmente él era el responsable de lo que había sucedido al comer con sangre lo que estaba prohibido por la ley mosaica.
Instead of looking at himself and asking the question if he wasn't one who orchestrated these, he just cast out the blame onto other people, seeking out who was the deep wrong on the people.
Dios es consultado por él, pero Dios no le responde.
And then we see how King Saul goes before God and asks him for his counsel, but God doesn't reply.
Entonces, él llama al sacerdote y echan lo que se conoce como el Umín y el Turín, que es unas suertes mediante la cual Dios iba diciendo sí o no, indicando hacia dónde se inclinaba la balanza.
And then he called and sums up the people and the priests, and he used an artifact called the Urim Turim, which was used to discern God's will by the way of asking questions, and he will say yes or no to try to reveal his will.
El pueblo callado trataba de proteger a Jonatán, pero sin embargo, Dios al final muestra que fue Jonatán que tomó de la miel.
And then the people, we see that they're trying to protect Jonathan by not saying that he did it. But at the end, we see God that revealed that it was Jonathan, his son, who actually broke his oath.
Y este hombre, Saúl, está dispuesto a asesinar su propio hijo con tal de afirmar su autoridad sobre el pueblo.
And we see how this king Saul is willing even to sacrifice and kill his own son in order to establish his leadership over the people.
Su discernimiento espiritual es inferior al del resto del pueblo que él gobernaba.
His spiritual discernment is way below the discernment of the people that he was ruling over.
Porque es el pueblo quien tiene que decidir oponerse a la autoridad real y decirle no, no morirá Jonatán, porque él fue quien trajo esta victoria a Israel en este día.
And it is the people of Israel who calls upon the king Saul, says, you are not going to kill Jonathan because it was Jonathan who brought great salvation to us today.
Entonces vemos a un hombre en Saúl que se relaciona con Dios de una manera externa a través de objetos como el arca o el efod.
So number one, we see Saul, a person whose relationship with God is only through items and objects, religious items such as the ark of the Urim Turim.
Que responde a las circunstancias independientemente de haber tenido o no la aprobación de Dios.
A person who acts upon the circumstances that he's facing, regardless of he's getting God's approval or not.
Que quiere apropiarse de los méritos que le corresponden a Dios por librar a su pueblo.
And a person who wants to claim the glory of the victories that God shows for his people.
Que por tener la preeminencia sencillamente coloca a los demás en una situación de aprieto y de tropiezo, prohibiéndole en este caso alimentarse.
And in order for him to establish his leadership and ruling, he puts his own people into a place where they're going to stumble and they're going to sin and they're going to fall.
Que lleva al pueblo a pecar contra Dios comiendo carne con sangre.
And he puts the people on a place where he leads them, where he leads the nation of Israel to sin against God by eating raw meat.
Que suplanta el lugar del sacerdote erigiendo un altar para que se sacrifique en ese lugar.
That he undermines the leadership and the role of the priest by building himself the altar instead of the priest.
Que consulta a Dios a través de otros y que Dios no le comunica nada, que lo hace en vano.
A person that consults God through other people, but God is not talking and revealing to him.
Y que con tal de afirmar su autoridad y su preeminencia, está dispuesto a asesinar a su propio hijo.
And somebody who's willing to sacrifice his own son, if that means to establish his ruling and his leadership.
La religión de Saúl, en primer lugar, le robaba la gloria y el mérito a Dios.
Saul's religion, in first place, we see that it was robbing God's glory and merit from God.
Buscaba su propio beneficio y su propia gloria.
He was seeking after his own benefit and after his own glory.
Y consideraba que era merecedor de todas las cosas,
and
de todos los favores de Dios.
And he considered himself as somebody worthy of all blessings and all rewards from God.
La fe de Jonatán, en contraste,
but then we see Jonathan's faith in comparison with him.
Estaba esperando en la gracia de Dios.
He was only waiting upon the grace.
Estaba confiando no en su capacidad, ni en su posición, ni su poder, sino en la misericordia de Dios.
He was not trusting in his position or his availability or his devotion. He was trusting upon the grace of God.
Así sucede siempre. Entre la religión y la fe hay un gran trecho.
And that's how it's always been. From religion and faith, there's a great gap in between.
La fe nos lleva a una relación personal de dependencia con Dios.
Faith leads us to a personal relationship with God, a relationship based on dependence.
Dependencia de Dios, ¿no?
Depending on God through faith.
Y espera de Dios, si es su voluntad, en base a su soberanía, la misericordia, la gracia, la salvación.
And awaits from God, if it is his will, his mercy and salvation from
porque
God.
Porque tiene la certeza de que no depende de muchos o de poco, que Dios tiene siempre el poder para poder salvar.
Because he had the certainty that it is not upon the few, it's not based on the few or the many, that God can act and deliver according to his sovereign will.
La religión de Saúl solamente le iba a llevar, ¿cómo lo decimos? A la calamidad, al desastre.
But then we see King Saul's religion was a religion that the only place where they was going to lead them was to destruction and calamity.
Pero sin embargo, la fe de Jonatán le iba a guiar a la victoria.
Nevertheless, Jonathan's faith was the one that was going to lead them to victory.
En el caso tuyo.
But then I'm going to ask you, in your case,
¿qué tienes tú, fe o religión?
What do you show? What do you have? Faith or religion?
Religión.
Religion.
De la cual no puedes esperar ni siquiera una respuesta de Dios.
Religion that you're not even able to wait from God's word.
O fe.
Or God's response.
O fe.
Or faith.
Que te dará la victoria no obstante tus propias limitaciones.
Which is going to give you victory regardless of your own limitations.
Tenemos que tomar una decisión.
We must make a decision.
Vamos a orar y concluir de esta manera.
Let us pray and then we'll wrap it up this morning.
Padre, tú sabes, Señor, que no estoy acostumbrado, Padre, a cortar mis pensamientos.
Father, you know that it's not my custom to cut my thought process.
Sin embargo, Señor, estoy gozoso de tener la oportunidad de instruir, Señor, tu palabra aún en esta forma.
But nevertheless, I rejoice and I'm glad that I'm able to teach and expose your word in this way.
Estamos gozosos, Señor, de tener al grupo de jóvenes que nos visitan esta mañana.
We're very rejoiceful in having this group of young men and women visit us this morning.
Y queremos, Señor, implorar por ellos de una manera especial.
And we want to ask you and pray over them in a very special way.
Para que cualquiera que sea su creencia religiosa,
so regardless of their personal religious belief,
sea sustituida por una fe genuina,
they can be transformed by a personal faith
a través de nuestro Señor Jesucristo.
Through Jesus Christ, our Son, He's your Son.
Quiero rogarte, Señor, por el resto de la congregación también.
And I want to pray also for the rest of the congregation,
incluyéndome a mí, Señor.
Including myself.
Para que, Padre, nos en el ejemplo de Jonatán,
as Father, as we saw in the example of Jonathan,
Nos llene, Señor, de coraje para llevar adelante la obra tuya, Señor.
You will lead us with courage and boldness to carry on your work.
Para que podamos librar tus batallas, Señor.
So we can fight your fights.
Sabiendo, Padre, que tú puedes salvar con muchos o con poco.
Knowing that you're able to deliver even if it is with few or with many.
Ayúdanos, Señor, a discernir en cuáles de estas luchas tú quieres que estemos involucrados, Señor.
Help us, Lord, to discern to which of these fires you want us to embrace on.
Te rogamos, Padre, que nos despidas con tu bendición en el nombre de Cristo Jesús.
And we ask you that you lead us in with your blessing in Jesus' name.
Amén.
Amen.